martini, shaken, not stirred.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Houston, we have a problem.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
I'm your number one fan.
And here we go.
What's up, moviegoers? Welcome, film fans. Welcome to the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. I am your host, Juan, and I am joined here with Ed.
Hey, what's up, folks?
Welcome to this bonus episode of the Cinnamon Movie Podcast, and I am a little bittersweet, Ed. It is the last A24 movie that we've covering for the summer. We started the first week of June, and we have lasted until the first week of August. How do you feel?
Man, pretty good, pretty good. Definitely been a different road trip for that matter with all this. Not too bad of one, though. Definitely got to see some good stuff, got to see some stuff I wasn't the biggest fan of, but I could understand and appreciate it for what it was for that matter.
Today, unless you guys don't cover or follow on the social media account, Ed, what are we talking about today?
So it's a studio that, probably about the past 10, 12 years?
So it's 2013.
2013, so about the past 8 years, has kind of came up in the game on its own, and it doesn't do things like usual cinema of popularity. It's called A24, and it's one of your, if not your favorite,
it's a great studio. Yeah, it's a great studio. A24, they don't do cinematic universes. They don't do sequels. They don't do superhero movies. They are a captivating, artistic movie studio who just want to do cool shit. They don't even care about making a ton of money.
And I wouldn't say it's... No, sorry to cut you off.
No, go for it.
I wouldn't even say it's about making cool shit. I'd say it's more about kind of more of an artistic appreciation of film for that matter.
But you guys can follow us on social media. We are all over. The Instagram is one word, Cinnamon Movie Podcast. Or you can follow us on the Facebook page at facebook.com/TheCinnamonMoviePodcast. Or just Facebook search The Cinnamon Movie Podcast and we pop right up. You can also follow the Twitter at Cinnamon405. We also have a YouTube page. Ed, how do they find that YouTube page?
Pretty easy. Go to that Facebook page right there, that Learn More button at the top. Go ahead and hit that Learn More button. The Learn More button transports you over to the YouTube channel. That YouTube channel, of course, has the like and subscribe buttons. So go ahead and like, comment, and unlike any video you may or may not like that much, as well as hit the notification button. Let us basically let you know anytime we drop an episode, as well as basically that comment section. Hit the comment section. We want to interact with you folks. The email is great to use by far. That's always a little thing we like to do on Mondays. But go ahead and just interact with us. We love all of the interaction you get to us. So, yeah.
And you can send us that email at cinemen921@gmail.com. That is, like Ed said, one of the fastest ways to get in contact with us, or send us a text or a voicemail or call at 405-590-5711, and we can get to you that way as well. But after today, it's not like we're going to take a six-month vacation and be like, oh, well,
no. We'll
talk A24 again in 6 months. No, we're still, you know, giving you that bonus content. And actually, I want to thank everybody. Usually we don't get too sentimental on this show, but I want to just personally, on a personal note, say thank you for the emails and the responses, and because all this extra bonus stuff that we're doing, it's all because of you guys. Like, you guys sent the emails and sent the messages and the Instagram stories and the comments on all the social media and all the physical media that I post about, hey, you love A24 so much, it would be so much fun for you guys to talk A24. Or, hey, we enjoy your show so much on Mondays, you guys should do another episode, or three episodes, or two episodes, or four. You guys, there's even been some emails about us doing a daily show. Like, if I had the time, that would be awesome.
I was about to say, this is kind of cutting in a lot of time, and it's not necessarily that we can't or don't want to do it. It's more just, like, our schedules don't line up enough. So me and Juan have kind of carved out a bit of time with each other and all that. Zach, his job kind of runs over, as well as, I guess, some of his duties. So, yeah.
But personally, I want to say thank you, because without all that extra interaction and without all those emails, I wouldn't even have the courage or really the extra oomph to say, let's do another show.
Yeah.
And, you know, we keep these at 45 minutes to an hour to where we just talk about the movie. But I want to spend a little extra time today on this final A24 episode and just say, like, just thank you. Because without those emails, we wouldn't have done more content. We wouldn't have done an extra show. And, you know, it just really shows that there's people out there who want to listen to us and want to interact with us. So, I know some of the A24 movies have been weird and been out there, but I hope you guys enjoyed them, and I hope that you guys enjoy this review today of Green Room, because next week we're going right back into the grind, and we're talking Friday the 13th, Part 1, the original, the classic from 1980, so it's going to be fun to start talking a little bit of horror, and it's going to be fun to talk about Friday the 13th for 13 straight weeks. I think it's going to be fun. If you guys want anything else that you would like for us to hear, review, talk about, bitch about, please let us know. We're going to do it. And I think it'd be fun if anybody wants to, you know, chime in and talk some horror.
Yeah.
Send us a call. We have some great quality Bluetooth speakers. You guys can actually join in and be on the episode with us. So give us a call or text us, email that you want to be a part of the show, and we'll put you on there. And if you guys want to hear a horror podcast every week, chime in at Friday the 14th podcast. You guys can go listen to them wherever you listen to podcasts at. So, and then we're also a part of the Prescribed Films Network,
right?
The PFPN. So not only can you guys find us on all of our social media accounts, but you guys can find us on Prescribed Films
Podcast Network. I mean,
so
you know,
hashtag PFPN, yeah. And you can actually find us on Spotify, Anchor, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Pandora, and now through the PFPN, you can find us on iTunes.
That's kind of crazy. I mean, honestly, you know, how much we used to, like, freaking upload stuff on iTunes and get it on our iPods or whatever we had back in the days, the Zooms or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely it's been a fun little experience and all that going through it, as well as, you know, kind of like what you said with all the people wanting us to do another show. It was kind of just more the fact of, like, okay, if we do another show, will they listen and all that? Because we've done bonus episodes, and some of them were all right. Some of them didn't take off at all. So it was just kind of like, all right, let's keep it to the one. Let's grow our numbers from there, and maybe we can try and pick it up again later on.
And I've noticed, like, you know, people are creatures of habit.
Yeah.
So if you consistently put that product out and put it on a weekly and a weekly or daily schedule, your numbers are going to grow because people are like, it's Monday. Cinnamon Movie Podcast Day.
And I know this is not the actual saying from the movie, but if you build it, they will come. I know it's he will come, but I'm saying
no,
they will
come. It's if you build it, they will come.
I thought it was he.
No. From Field of Dreams, because they are a baseball team.
I thought it was the Mandela effect, because I thought it was everybody thought it was they will come, but it's he will come because it was like dealing with. But either way, shoot, I might be doing a reverse Mandela. I don't know. But, you know, talking about that stuff. But either way, so, Green Room.
Green Room, a punk rock band is forced to fight for survival after witnessing a murder at a neo-Nazi skinhead bar. It has a IMDb rating of 7, Rotten Tomatoes sit at 91%, and the Metascore is at 79%. This is where the downfall is, though. It had a budget of $5 million and only grossed $3.8 million at the box office, with a release date of April 15th, 2016.
So I'm going to say, before we kick off on this, I'm going to say this. I went in, I had not read the synopsis, I had not read anything about it. I knew that Patrick Stewart was in it. That's the deepest I knew about it, and that it was a bit more horror than usual for A24.
Speaking
that's
of
the most
the cast, you have a cast of Anton Yelchin, Imogen Poots, Patrick Stewart, Joe Cole, and it's directed by Jeremy Solner.
Okay.
And wow.
Because, yeah, those are the two names I recognized, or the two faces, I should say, of course. Patrick Stewart and then Imogene Poots with the kind of funky blonde haircut.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I really digged her in this movie. I want to say, you know what, this all could be prevented if you knock before entering.
Man, I was just like, dude, that's all you had to do was like knock and be like, hey, I left a cell phone in here. Oh yeah, yeah, it's the one right there. Sorry, not meaning to barge in on y'all. Yeah. Just left this so we can go ahead and go. And everything would have been good. That's it. You know, they would have done their bullshit and got out.
First time watch.
Yeah.
First time reviewing this movie. So, you know, like you said, you didn't have any expectation going into it. So
I had no knowledge whatsoever.
If you could explain this movie in one word before we get into it, what would it be?
Roller coaster.
Roller coaster. That's roller a good coaster. Word.
I mean, yeah.
So that's what we're about to get into today is Green Room. If you guys haven't checked it out, go check it out. It's currently on YouTube TV, Sling TV, Amazon Prime, and you can get it on the Hulu subscription with Showtime Plus. So, or you can rent it on Vudu for $2.99, or you can rent it on YouTube TV and Google Play for $4.99. Or, honestly, I've seen the Blu-ray at Best Buy, and I believe our good friends over at CDR have the Blu-ray as well for like $7. So go check it out. Green Room. Man, I saw this movie for the first time in the theaters in 2016, and I was completely blown away. Yeah. All I knew is that it was a horror movie. A24 was doing it. I did not know that it would get your skin crawling that quick into the movie.
I was about to say, like, so this reminded me of a little bit of the beginning of How to Talk to Girls at Parties, just the beginning of it at least, because both the comparisons of rock punk rock acts that are not, I'm not gonna say low of the low as in like a disgrace topic, but they basically aren't trying, like literally they say in the movie, we're not going on social media, we're not plugging our shit. We're just doing it raw and organic because that's how you have texture is what they use specifically.
And I like that they, you know, they're, even though their way is like starving them to death, they enjoy doing it their way.
Yeah.
Organic, fresh, and they wanted to kind of like almost upstarting a podcast.
I mean, in a way, yeah. Because, I mean, honestly, like we kind of
started the same way, but yeah. We needed podcast really, you really do need social media.
Yeah, I mean, we've gone ahead and plugged ourselves quite a bit. I mean, that's honestly what you'll find on my social media accounts mainly.
That's all I use social media for anymore. I don't use it for anything else other than, you know, this podcast.
Same.
funny
enough.
So you get the siphon of the gas. You can see that they're struggling.
Yeah.
But
I like how creative they are.
They played at like a Mexican restaurant at the beginning.
I don't know. It was either a Mexican restaurant or some little mom and pop sit down restaurant, something like that.
You know what I like about this movie is that the director actually got actors who can semi play instruments.
Yeah.
And he literally wrote and created songs for them to do.
And I mean, that's the thing right there. That's effort.
Detail.
Effort. Definite detail, effort going from there.
And we're definitely going to be doing A24 vibes a little bit later on in the show. So
yeah.
If you guys are interested, we have a segment that we do, and this will be the last one.
Yep.
And so send in those emails, and we'll read them Monday when we talk A Quiet Place Part 2. But yeah, send in those emails. We randomly bring up a movie and talk about it for a little bit that has kind of like some A24 vibes. So if you guys want to play along, send us some emails about some films that may have some vibes for you.
Yeah. So start out, basically they've pretty much crashed. They've all been dead asleep for however long, a couple hours at least, running extremely low on gas and all that. So, basically two of them, go out and get fuel. They siphon fuel, like you just said, come back, and then they go on their merry way and they find themselves at that restaurant thing. And basically they play that, get like $6 each. So, you know, really, really shit money. And that's kind of what they have to go on. And then he's like, well, you know, I know a more solid gig that you can get that's up near like Portland
$350 or whatever. $350.
Right. So they're like, all right, cool. You know, is this really legit? Yeah. So he sends them up there And basically before they leave, he tells them, hey, you might want to play some of your earlier, harder stuff. And they're kind of like, okay, like, why? And he's like, oh, a bunch of skinheads up there. So it's kind of like...
So do you think, first off, that they probably weren't on everybody's good side because of that first song they played?
Oh, hell no. I mean, don't get me wrong. They did two things right there. A, they kind of screwed themselves over a lot already. And B, they basically threaded out everybody that didn't want to be there. Because after that, you seen the crowd kind of really chilled out and was like going along with it. And they were vibing out to it. They were doing vibes with it. You know, I like some of the music that they actually used in this, in the background for that matter. Because one band that I truly, truly love, Slayer, was featured in there, actually name dropped, as well as one of their songs, War Ensemble, was in there. So I was just like, fuck yeah, Slayer. Hell yeah. But on top of that, you know, it's kind of funny because, like, the first song, you know, they're, you know, fuck Nazis, or no, punk Nazis, punk Nazi punks, fuck you. And they go on about that. You know, and it pisses several people in the crowd off to where they're just like, eh, screw this band, we're out. So, you know, already goes. And basically, Imogene Poots was part of one of the groups that left. But they just went into the back. They didn't leave
the building. Went into the green room.
Right, the actual, yeah, the green room that the bands usually stay in for a minute to kind of get their heads right. You know, they've gone back there and all that stuff. And basically...
Pat, which is played by the late Anton Yelchin, you know, they're on their way out the door and he forgets his charger and his phone.
Well, no, it was
the girl,
female.
Yeah, right. Which is Sam.
Yeah.
Played by Aaliyah.
Yeah.
Shawcat. She forgets her phone. He goes back in and gets it without even knocking, kind of slides open the door and...
Well, he, like, does a California knock. You know, if you've ever heard of the California roll of the stop signs, basically you stop just a little bit and then you keep going. You don't stop at all. So he basically knocked as he was opening the door, grabbed the phone, and then looked over to the left and saw the brunette girl that was stabbing the
skull.
Side of the head. And he just looks at everybody and was like, I didn't see nothing. You know, the kind of typical bullshit in the movie, I didn't see nothing. And then takes off and calls 911, like, not even when he's out of the building, calls 911, going, trying to get through them. And it's like, dude, you're like half these guys' size. They're angry bastards. Like, you've already pissed them off. So, ouch. But
what'd you think of the cast? Most of the people who played, like, the you know, the so-called bad guys, or the Nazis, the ones who were running the show. And then, you know, I gotta say, when Patrick Stewart enters the scene, very powerful.
You see a big ass difference, and you see why he is who he is.
I also enjoyed the guy who kind of played the main guy, Gabe.
Oh yeah.
The lead singer. Yeah, he was kind of like the lead manager guy of the place, who was like, who takes their phone, like, here, I'll call 911 and report the stabbing.
Yeah. Oh, man. And that was a crazy ass scene when they gone up and they had the two guys stab, like, one of them stab the other for like $600. He was just like,
felt like a scream.
There you go. I was just like, damn, dude.
What did you think of Big Justin, the guy who ends up getting his arm broken and then he gets sliced open with a box knife?
He reminded me of David Harbour.
Did he?
He really did. I was just like, is this fucking Dave? And then I was like, no. I was like, that's not. But damn, he reminds me of him. Like, he could be a stunt double for the guy. But I thought he played his role well, as, you know, kind of an intimidating enforcer kind of guy, you know. Thought he played the role very well. So, yeah.
What did you think of, because it really kicks off when they kind of lock themselves in the room with Big Justin, and then let's kind of just skip, and, like, that's when it starts picking up, and that's when your heart really starts pounding, is, like, they're starting to negotiate through the locked door.
Yep.
And,
I mean, don't get me wrong, they don't know who the hell this, you know, guy is. They don't know any
Darcy,
of these guys.
Right? Darcy is Patrick Stewart.
Yeah. They don't know anything about who the guy is. They don't know anything about this place other than bands play here. They don't know shit about this place other than it's got a bunch of racist crap all over it and spray paint and stuff like that. Yeah, that's really all they know.
So after the stabbing, they try to call 911. you kind of got like almost a little hostage situation going on. Legit. The guy who broke the MMA moves out of nowhere. What did you think about that? When he like,
I actually liked that.
When he put Big Justin in the armbar.
Yeah, that was freaking good. Like he was just like, man, it doesn't matter. Even if you have the gun, I'll wrap you up. It was just like
you never know who the other person is.
And that's the truth, because I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, Bruce Lee was 5 foot 445 pounds. You know, but I mean, look at who he was and all that shit. But at the same time, you know, this guy obviously was bigger than that, but nonetheless was still probably less than about 80 pounds less than Justin was.
And I got to say, heads up or thumbs up to Sean Porter, who is the cinematographer for this movie.
Yeah.
Because the wide shots, the long shots, and then some of the outside scenes with the actual Oregon.
Yeah.
Filming on location, some beautiful, beautiful cinematography in this movie.
And it's not even that, but it's just, you know, the differences in landscaping that they have out there in Oregon. I've never been there, but I've, you know, seen pictures and all that. And so far, what I've noticed is Oregon has a lot of beautiful woods. I've heard some weird stuff happens up there, too, but beautiful, beautiful woods in that side, in that area of the
country. How fast was your heartbeat rating racing whenever Pat Anton was putting his arm through that open door and was about to hand over the gun? First off, I feel like that was the stupidest move of the movie.
Yeah, I'd say probably one of the top three dumbest moves of the entire film. I wouldn't say the necessarily dry cut the dumbest, but one of the dumbest moves.
Before you even knew what was going to happen, what did you think was going to happen to the arm? Did you think it was going to come completely off?
I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I kind of thought they were going to break his arm or, you know, something like that.
Because when they're pulling, you can kind of hear the cutting.
Yeah.
And then he pulls his arm in, they close the door, and it's just like his hamburger meat.
Well, I mean, his freaking wrist is almost severed from his entire arm, and it's just, you know, cut up and all that
shit. The machete that they used ended up coming inside, though, right?
Yeah.
They ended up dropping it inside?
Yeah.
And they brought the gun in anyway.
Yeah. Because, oh, shit. Basically, you know, they were fighting over that. They were going to give the gun back without ammo because they were told that the firearm that they had was unregistered and all that. Yeah. And basically, you know, Imogen Poots' character is looking through the door vent at the bottom of the door, and she's like, oh, shit, they're going to kill us. And at that moment, he starts trying to get his hand back or his arm, take his arm back. But my thing is open the door, throw that shit. I wouldn't have even stuck my fingernail out of that door at all. I'd have just thrown that damn gun. There you go.
Either way, the moment the door is locked and they were locked in there, they weren't getting out alive.
At least not fully, no.
Patrick Stewart, Darcy wanted them all dead.
And yeah, that's the thing, because he wanted it to be no witnesses,
basically. He wanted it to look like they trespassed on his property. And they kind of made it did already, because they showed up in that van with the gas cans and the siphon hoses. And Patrick Stewart was like, hey, get me some no trespassing signs or beware of, you know, they have the beware of dog signs, so.
Which, I mean, is kind of fucked up, because it's literally like, you know, one of your guys basically invited them on too. So he's representing y'all as a company, basically. So you're already fucked up right there, but only one jackass, wherever the hell they were, knows that they're there. So.
What did you think of like that kind of hostage situation while they were all in the green room for that? Because they're in the green room from literally about 10 minutes from when the movie starts until 53 minutes. And then after that 53-minute mark is when they bust out and then try to come back in.
They, you know, bust down through the floorboards and see basically a heroin factory, pretty much. So, I mean, you know, it's not enough that they're just some, like, racist skinhead bastards. It's also they're
dealing drugs and
dealers and possibly junkies themselves. Yeah. So, I mean, there's that whole aspect of their operation right there.
How did Big Justin die again? What did he choke him out and then she cut him? She slit his belly open with a box knife. Right?
Basically, at that time, he basically had a chokehold on him and was making him pass out. And they were all like, well, how do you know? And then all of a sudden he woke up and then he put it back on him. And they're like, well, how do you know when he's out? And basically Imogene Poots was like, fuck it. I'm slitting him right up the gut. So she literally went pretty much from just below the navel all the way up to chest with a slice that looked way too fucking easy. That just looked like she was cutting through butter, and it was just like, that's not how that would go.
You don't think if you had a fresh blade it would be that smooth?
Not that deep, not that smooth.
No.
No, I mean, I've been cut with several knives before, you know, like accidents on workplace or whatever when you're trying to cut.
My throat gets stabbed.
No, not like that.
Hanging out too many clubs, man.
cutting boxes with stupid, you know, young, don't know how to handle a knife yet. But so, yeah.
How did you feel about the graphic and the gore of this movie?
Wasn't over the top. It wasn't too bad. I mean, honestly, the graphic, it really wasn't bad. It really wasn't. For A24, it's pretty out there. But, I mean, for most of the movies I've seen, really not that bad.
No?
I graphics and gore, I'd say about 4 out of 10. I mean, honestly, it wasn't really that hardcore that much.
IMDb has the violence and gore at a severe, and then the frightening and intense scenes at a severe.
Then maybe I'm fucking like,
you're just sick and numb twisted
to it, I yeah guess, or something. Desensitized, I guess.
I thought honestly the first time I watched it, I thought it was a little brutal. The second time around, I think it's because I've seen it before. Maybe it is. So if you do kind of have a weak stomach, it's probably not for you. Especially, with the arm, with the cutting of the belly,
yeah,
the wrist, dog scenes,
belly,
the shotgun to the face. Some of these kills were kind of out there. The guy who, and we're jumping a little bit ahead, but
they were, I will go ahead and cite them for this, or not cite, but commend them for this. It looked a lot more realistic than a lot of other films. I will say that for sure. Because literally when he took, like, one of the ones that was worse for me was when he took the knife from the brunette's head and started dragging her along. Oh, I was holy shit. Like, you just don't give a damn. You know, and he just goes ahead and takes it, puts his foot and just takes it out.
It's
and then
raw.
Blood just gushes out. And he is like, what was that second to last song called? And he's like, Toxic Evolution. He's like, yeah, that's the one I did her to. I was just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
This guy don't give two fucks in a bucket.
How did you watch it? Did you get any interruptions, or was it just a one-shot watch?
Just one, just where I went to the bathroom. But other than that, yeah, that's it, you know. No, it was all through except for maybe 2-3 minutes in between. There you go. Yeah. So
how and I know you're a big fan of like the guns and stuff. How did you appreciate with the, like, them counting and making sure, oh, that gun has
three shots
or the shotgun with 3 shots?
That was the shit right there. I was just like, Imogene Poots is killing it. I was like, this chick is like, he's still got 3 shots. You know, because she remembered when they loaded it earlier and then had him put the shells into the one guy's pocket. I was like, damn. You know, I liked the little what was it, the little clap back at him saying, yeah, I've seen you cock a shotgun. I was just like, oh shit. Bringing a little bit early into the damn movie.
But, how awesome, and it's kind of sad, but how awesome was Anton in this movie?
Thought he was great, honestly.
Do you remember the first thing you've seen him in?
Not right offhand.
I'm going to go through his filmography because, unfortunately, we lost him in 2016, literally just months after this movie was released.
Yeah.
He died at the age of 27 in a weird, strange motor accident. I can't remember, but I think it's... So he's been in some pretty decent movies. I mean, it looks like the movie that he was in as a youngster back in the day was Along Came a Spider. And then the movie that I really seen him in that was just outstanding to me was 2006 Alpha Dog. If you guys have not seen that movie, I highly recommend it. Based off of a true story. Very, very entertaining movie. And I will say it's super hard to watch at the end. Really, really hard to watch. And then Star Trek from 09, Terminator Salvation. He played Kyle Reese. The Beaver. The Smurfs, he was a voice. Fright Night 2011.
That'd probably be my first known watch of his.
Odd Thomas was another movie he was in. And then Star Trek in Darkness. Smurfs 2. Green Room. And then Star Trek Beyond. And then I mentioned it a few weeks ago during our A24 Vibes Thoroughbreds. Okay. That was one of the last movies he was in.
Which actually, funny enough, on Fright Night, he worked with Imogene Poots.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a cool little thing.
But no, really, really entertaining actor. I highly enjoyed his role in this movie.
Yeah.
Just unfortunate we lost him at a really, really young age.
Yeah, I mean, does happen on, you know, weird
and
accidents.
It was just a weird situation.
Yeah.
Like, I guess, you know, went to go check his mailbox, or he was pinned, like you said, he was pinned in between the vehicle and a fence or something?
Something like that, but basically just says he was, his vehicle basically rolled down his driveway and pinned him. So I don't know if it pinned him to the ground, to a wall, a fence, or what, but basically he kind of died from asphyxia, blunt traumatic asphyxia, so... Not really a pretty nor a quick death, for that matter. But yeah, kind of a strange thing, to be honest.
All right, guys, we are talking A24 Vibes, and if this is the first time, I'm sorry that it's the last, at least for now.
Oy.
But we pick a movie that we recommend that has some A24 vibes, and we kind of talk about them. So, Ed, if you want to get yours off your chest, go for it.
It's been kind of a joke that I've done for a while about this movie, but Clerks. I don't know why, but Clerks kind of seems like it'd be a little bit of what they kind of do. Like, it's got the eighth grade or mid-90s kind of feel to it. In a way,
bro, it's so funny that you say that.
Yeah.
Because, and we did not talk about this before we recorded this episode.
No.
But my vibes is Red State, the one and only horror movie directed by Kevin Smith.
That's funny.
And it's a crime action horror.
I feel like Kevin Smith might be a good A24 director.
He is. He directed. You know. He directed an A24 movie called Tusk.
Right. Oh shit! With Justin Long.
Yeah,
I forgot that was. I forgot that was part of A24. Yeah. Holy shit!
But mine. Well, you said Clerks. I'm sure everybody out there knows Clerks.
If you don't, like, what fucking movie are you not watching? Come on now.
Red State is from 2011, and I'm gonna read the synopsis just for you guys to see. Set in Middle America, a group of teens receive an online invitation for sex. Though they soon encounter a fundamentalist with much more sinister agenda. And that, to me, that has A24 vibes written all over it.
Yeah, I can imagine that easily.
And then the other movie, since this is the last week, not only am I recommending Red State, but I also am recommending Unsane. This has, again, A24 vibes all over it as well. Directed by Steven Soderbergh. It is just, it's on Amazon Prime if you have Prime Video. But this one is a young woman is involuntarily committed to a mental institution where she is confronted by her greatest fear. But is it real or is it a product of her delusion? A24.
She's crazy as hell.
Those got vibes on it for me, so.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't think that's a bad pick. I mean, shoot.
But check him out. Mine is Unsane and Red State. And Ed, you recommended
Clerks. The OG.
So like we said, 53 minutes, man. This movie goes quick. It's only an hour and 30 minutes. So it was really a fun watch for me. I was able to get home, watch it, write some notes, and it was really enjoyable. Man, the guy who ends up being the traitor, who Patrick Stewart sends in there at first to shoot him down and hunt him, he ends up turning his back on him. And he tells one of the dudes to haul ass out of here, and I'm going to help these guys escape.
Yeah. I don't know. It was kind of a weird, like, setup for that matter. But at the same time, you know, he's kind of just like, I didn't know what was going to go down like that. I thought it was, I didn't know.
But before that, they lose, who dies? They lose the guy who's...
Pretty much everybody.
They only lose two, I think. They lose,
At first, they lose Reese. Yeah, the guy with the green-colored hair.
And then blue. Tiger is the MMA fighter, right?
Yeah, Tiger was the guy who, in the brown shirt, who kind of put up a fight if he needed to.
So he got... was expecting him to really, like, kill people and help them out. But he died, like, he was actually the first one who died.
No, he wasn't. He was the third.
But Reese died
first. No, he was the second. I'm sorry. He was
then
the second.
Then it was Reese.
Yeah, Reese was the first one to die.
Okay.
Reese
is the one who died with the...
Pat got his left hand messed up first. Then Reese got his neck chewed off by the dog, basically. And kind of the same thing with Tiger later on. And then basically with Sam...
She got her face ripped off by the dog, too.
Basically, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, the dogs had a kill count right there.
They did.
You know, but I mean...
They took out three of them. And then... Man, what did you think about the guy who got his face blown off with a shotgun?
I mean, honestly, fuck him. Nah.
how real and raw did that look?
That's what I'm saying earlier. Like, I've got to go ahead and commend them. Like, the realness was there. I don't know if they studied, if they looked at different films and stuff like that, but they really gone ahead and put the effort into making props as real as possible.
The makeup was good. CGI was used.
I was about to say, I don't either, because I mean, the wrist looked real, the slit up the belly, that you could tell that was fake, but at the same time, like, I'm sure that's...
But I applaud close-ish. The practical effects in this movie.
Yeah.
Looked good. What did you think of the dogs too? It was a smart way of...
I felt bad for them, but yeah.
It was a smart way of them using the microphone to the speaker.
Yes.
To lure the dogs away.
Quiet Place Part 2 kind of shit. Honestly, it was a really, really good idea. Because I mean, dogs of course have better hearing and smell than we do. So you disrupt those senses and they go haywire. No. You know, they want to get away from it as quick as possible.
A big dog, or we call Ed around here the dog whisperer. you seeing that, were you like, oh, that's a little too much? Or were you like, no, you know what? I got to give him props. It's kind of cool.
I mean, no wrong. I'd rather do that to a dog to kind of to use something RDJ.
But like when you saw that, you were like, oh, that would never happen. A dog would continue to use its instincts to kill.
Most of the time, no, because if you disorient them or discombobulate them, not really. Cause they're getting away from that because, you know, it's kind of hard to truly, truly know either way, but at the same time, like, I feel like that's at least a decent way to fight them. But at the same time, like, I'm sorry, but, you know, if you're sicking your dogs on me, like, it is what it is. Like, you know, with Imogen Poots completely missing her shot, you know, like, she probably would have blown half that dog away if she actually got her shot correct.
Oh, you're talking
with the 12 gauge outside.
Oh,
you got shot in the leg.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that dog came up to her and all that.
Well, Sam had a shot, too, and she fucked it up.
Yeah. So I'm just like, you know, man, it kind of sucks because literally, like, some of the shots were off. But at the same time, like, your adrenaline's pumping and all that. You're not going to be perfect. You're not going to be a Chris Kyle. So it is what it is.
What did you think of Patrick Stewart in this movie?
Different than what I've known him as.
Professor X leading a cult.
Yeah.
This movie almost had an American History X feeling to it. I don't know if you've seen that.
I've not, but I know what you're talking about. And I mean, yeah, they played their damn parts. Yeah. Like, I've got all of the red laces, all of the Neo fuckers. They played their part. Yeah. I mean, honestly. I was really, really, really surprised to hear Patrick Stewart drop the N-bomb. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, not
Sir Patrick Stewart. Now.
That's true. Sorry about that, Mr. Stewart. Or Sir Stewart. Sorry about that.
What do you think about that? Like, isn't that insane? I don't know, we're cutting off topic, but
yeah.
A country like that to knight some of their most popular actors or celebrities to now they're certain, you know, what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, it's kind of like,
I know it's their culture, but
I kind of feel like it's them basically commending them for putting more people from that land on the map. Because, I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, Christopher Lee, of course, has been Sir'd. Elton John, you know. And, I mean, those are two big-ass names right there. Yeah. Like, Christopher Lee is, you know, not only his lineage, but as well as basically he is what Bond is. Like, he is the person Bond is based off of. As well as he was, you know, their Secret Service, as well as, I mean, years
Sean in
service.
Sean Connery, too, right?
Sean Connery, yeah. But, I mean, not only that, but, you know, of course, like we're talking about Patrick Stewart. So there's four huge names right there that just, yeah, when you think of Britain and England and all that, you think of those four are probably some of the first you think of.
Yeah.
So, especially talking.
Did you have any pacing issues with this movie? To me, it went by real smooth. And by the time I looked up, I'm like, damn, it's already at 1 hour and 10 minutes. It's almost over.
Not really, no. Didn't have any issues like that at all. No. Truthfully, at all, no. It was very... Basically, once it started, it started.
Yeah.
And there was a bit of dialogue to kind of explain the story a little bit more and all that.
But other than that, it shot right at you. It tells you... It explains everything. It's almost... it's pretty average as far as like storytelling. I think it's a great story.
Yeah.
But it's one of those that's like, it doesn't need to be explained.
Not really. Cause I mean, the story itself is explaining itself.
Yeah.
You know, especially with this one, you know, just happened upon the wrong thing. And basically, you know, kind of like, one of them says in the movie, we're trying to contain this. And that's what it is. That's all you need to know, you know, It's a hostage situation on top of a hostage situation.
I don't know if you do this, but when I watch some movies like this, I'm like, I try to put myself in one of the victim's shoes, and I'm like, dude, I don't know if I could do stuff like this.
Somewhat, yeah.
Like Anton, or Pat.
Pat, yeah.
When his arm got chopped up like that, I'm like, dude, what would I do if that happened to me? I would probably, I don't know what I would do.
I was about to say, I think.
And how perfect was his moan and his groan and his crying when that happened?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, does this really happen to this poor kid? I'm like over here sobbing. Like if it was the end of Titanic, I'm over here bawling my eyes out. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, my God. But no, I mean, they're wrong. You know, that's kind of a real like reaction, honestly, because it was just like, holy shit, you know, and I mean. How the wounds looked, how he reacted to it, how quickly he reacted to it and all that. Yeah, it made it look or feel like it was real. It really did.
He is an outstanding actor when it comes to situations like that. I got to put over Alpha Dog one more time. And if it's literally one of the last scenes of the movie. If you guys haven't seen it, I highly recommend going and seeing this movie. It is if you... watch Green Room and you're like, man, Anton Yelchin, man, he's a good actor. I need to see some more stuff that he's in. Go check out the Star Trek movies. You know, he's fun in those, but Alpha Dog is a different kind of story. And your heart sinks all the way down to the bottom of your stomach when this movie ends. So go check it out. Highly recommend it.
Hell yeah.
So the ending, really the only two who survived this whole thing is Imogene Poots and Anton. What did you think of them letting like the manager go? They let Gabe go, who's played by Malcolm Blair.
I was about to say, you know, it kind of shows their character for that matter.
But why let him go? He's one of the ones who was like, let's contain this. And have you locked up?
Yeah. I mean, in all honesty,
he did show them where their van was parked with Patrick Stewart, told them to go up the road and stay off the road, go through the forest and you'll find them.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you know, part of me, I guess they did it to save shots and to kind of creep up on them. But at the same time, like I was like, dude, y'all need to gun him down. Like not trying to be an asshole, but like fuck him up.
Did you like the death of Patrick Stewart in this movie?
I did. That was a really, really good one, I thought. Really well-timed, especially. And then
he just started walking.
Yeah, he didn't give a shit. He did not give a shit, and I was kind of like, "What are you going towards?" Like,
but you know what? How smart that? How kind of smart is that though? Because he's like, they're not used to guns. They only have a few shots. If they miss, I can turn around and boom. You know, I can get them.
I'm more used to it. So yeah. But of course, he ain't no Jerry Michalik. I know you know you don't know who the fuck that is.
I'm just nodding along, going right along. I don't know who the hell that is either.
Jerry Michalik would have taken them on very, very easily.
Who is that?
He is the fastest gun in the world right now.
Oh, nice.
He's in his 70s or 80s, and he could probably shoot half of our entire family within like 5 seconds.
What's his name and number?
Jerry Michalik. And damn. Okay. shit. He literally makes two or three shots sound like one. Oh, like, nice. Literally. They've even... Either way. But yeah, he's a badass. You should check him out. But I've got to say... I know this is definitely off topic and all that, but since this movie is not centered around it, but it has a lot to deal with metal, with the world of metal and all that, metal lost a big, big person in the entire industry. One of Slipknot's former and founding members, Joey Jordison, basically was found dead. Pretty much in between the night of the 26th or the morning of the 26th and the night of the 25th, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, he died in his sleep. Strangely enough, was one of the best drummers, honestly regarded as one of the best double bass drummers ever.
That's crazy that you say that, because now as we're talking here, like as you're listening to this episode Thursday or after the 29th, the 28th, Dusty Hill from ZZ Top passed away.
I know.
He was 72.
Yeah, Joey Jordison was 46.
That's insane.
Yeah, so that makes, within the past 8 years, that makes two, or no, I'm sorry. Paul Gray died in 2011, I think, or 2000, I think 2010, actually. So within 11 years, that makes two members of Slipknot that have passed. And, I mean, yeah, it crazy shit. But, yeah, world of rock and roll slash metal has lost two people in the past week, if that, for two legendary people, for that matter. So, kind of sucks, but, yeah. Damn.
That's insane, though, man. Thoughts and prayers out to the family, and do everybody a favor and go listen to some rock and roll this week after this episode.
Hell yeah.
Some favorite scenes, man, from Green Room. I'm going to say, just right offhand, all the kills are badass. I think those are some of the best, probably, horror. I mean, I don't know if you can really call them true horror, but I know as far as, like, kill scenes go, they're some of the best well-thought-out kill scenes that I've seen lately.
Yeah.
At least in just recent watches.
Especially with prop effects.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good practical effects. Something that we'll talk about in recent watches on Monday, because I mean, Green Room was a recent watch.
Yeah.
So we'll touch on it again Monday. I enjoyed the dialogue at the end between
Imogen Poots.
Imogen Poots and Anton. He's like, I don't want to die here with you.
She's like, don't.
Yeah.
I was like, damn. Okay. Shit.
What did you think of the war paint?
I thought that was creative because literally they didn't know who the fuck he was at first. They literally like...
And he shaved his head. It could have been one of them.
Yeah, and that's what they thought. That's exactly what they thought. He turned around and...
Because it was smart. Like,
what the hell? Yeah, and that's just adaption. Adaption. That's the best thing, you know, taking your enemy by surprise, basically.
And we talked about that on District 9 on Monday. Adapt or perish. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, so, we did.
If you guys have not heard that episode yet, go back and listen to it. It was a fun episode. Fun movie to rewatch, honestly. I enjoyed it. We reviewed District 9, so go back and check that out. Really fun review, fun watch. If you guys have any other movies, again, our schedule is out. Like, I share the schedule. I share what we're going to be getting ready to talk about. If you guys want something different, email us, and that's the best way. You guys don't want to hear us talk about A Quiet Place Part 2? I disagree because of all the emails say otherwise. You guys are stoked for A Quiet Place Part 2.
Me too.
But if you guys don't want to hear us talk about the Suicide Squad, who right now, have you seen the Rotten Tomatoes? It's at 100%.
I have not, but I did see a...
43 reviews. It's at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I've seen an article that said this is the least depressing superhero movie that's ever came out in the past 5 years or something like that.
They said this is the best DC movie since Wonder Woman.
I was like, shit, okay, least depressing.
And then if you guys don't want to hear us talk about Shawshank Redemption, send us an email with something that you might want us to hear talk about. So it can change.
In the past, it has changed due to public outcry, basically, through the emails. You know, Into the Spider-Verse was one of the first big ones that we changed. To be honest, I don't even remember what the hell we were going to do before that. But, yeah, you know, we changed it.
I think it was A Quiet Place.
Might have been, but we changed it to Into the Spider-Verse, and that was a very, very liked episode, so yeah.
A lot of emails, you guys have been sending in a lot of emails about Wrath of Man with Jason Statham, so we can talk and try to put that movie in somewhere, but send us some emails. Ed, what about you? Do you have any favorite scenes from Green Room?
Yeah, a couple. So I've got to say the first song was kind of funny. Kind of cool and all that, because when he said, I've got a bad idea if y'all want to go along with it, I was like, oh shit, here we go. So that was kind of a funny thing. Gotta say, the scene where kind of at the end, to where they were walking the club manager, the whatever manager, all the way until basically the very last shot, which I've got to say, that was my favorite line of dialogue right there. He was like, I think I've got it, my Desert Island Band, and she's like, tell someone who gives a fuck. I was like, damn, shut down. But you know, from that point to that point was all, to me, just all well timed, well done, well talked about and all that, so dialogued for that matter. So yeah, I've got to say that. But I agree with you, the kills were definitely inventive, but on top of that, just very good in practical effects. Didn't look like they did anything wrong in this film at all with concerning that, at least.
So, A24 doesn't really hype up a character or an actor when they really walk on screen, but you could just feel the mood change when Patrick Stewart got out of his truck.
You could definitely tell who that was.
I thought it was a very good nod to, hey, sir, you've done some good shit.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. Because, but I mean, like, not only that, but you can kind of tell, like, it changed the air changes around that man. In almost anything he does, for that matter, you know, because he was the one who played Picard way back in the day, wasn't he?
Star Trek, yeah.
So I mean, you know, from then, what, back in the 70s, 60s?
Oh no, it wasn't that old. Star Trek was Next Generation was only in the 90s. Yeah.
Damn. Okay,
maybe late 80s.
I was way off, but I mean, you know,
Star Trek, X Men.
Yeah,
he's done it all.
That's where a lot of people knew him from, was either Star Trek or X Men for that matter. But yeah, I was about to say this is just kind of one of those things to where it just adds to his repertoire. So yeah.
Star rating, Ed. What do you give this movie?
I'd say an 8 due to how well they did the practical effects. I think that bumps it a little bit just for that reason right there, as well as I thought good story, good execution on it, pretty much everything they did. I'm going to say I liked it quite a bit.
I'm going to agree with you. Sorry, I almost said disagree. I'm going to agree with you and give it an 8 as well. I think this movie is dark, grungy. It's everything you want and maybe a gruesome horror/thriller. You can almost even, you know, put some suspense in there, but I think it was really, really well done. Fantastic story. The cast, the big three, Patrick Stewart, Anton, and Imogen, I think it was a great, great starting cast. And even the supporting cast around them was good. So, I highly recommend it. Like I said, you can rent it on, YouTube TV, Sling TV, Vudu for $2.99. Or it's on the Hulu subscription with Showtime. Or yeah. Like I said, if you're a big physical media collector, go get it. Go find it. It's dirt cheap. You can get it for like $7 on Blu-ray. So Ed? A24, man. It's been a summer. It's been a nice, long...
midsummer.
It's been a summer, though, man. We've talked some great films through this A24. Through this, you know, do you think it's goodbye, or do you think it's just for see now. You later?
For now. Just for
see,
now.
See you later?
Just for now, yeah. Because I don't think we're ever going to be truly done with it. You're too big of a fan for that matter, so you always want to interject something here and there.
And then there's new A24 movies coming out all the time. I think Friday me and Zach might go see Green Knight.
Actually, I've heard of The Lamb.
I saw the trailer for The Lamb.
That apparently hints or nods towards Midsommar.
Not really, but if you have not seen the trailer, I highly recommend it. The trailer, have you seen it?
No.
Yeah, pretty much. So, if you guys should go out and check out this trailer for Lamb. It really looks interesting.
Okay.
And then they have Zola right now out in theaters, which is an A24 movie. And then The Green Knight hits theaters tomorrow or July 30th.
Yeah.
So A24 will keep rolling on, man. Someday down the line we'll. And then there's still a bunch of great movies in the catalog.
Oh yeah.
That's been out. So we'll check some A24 out again. Guess what? The only way to like continue to keep growing, guys, is just send us some more emails.
Yeah.
Send us some, even if it's just an email that says a name of a movie. You don't even have to send me your email. You can just send it and it'll go in spam and I still read it.
Yeah.
So send me some emails, send me some text messages, send me some messages about what you might want us to cover, or send us something about A24 vibes. And we'll read it, man. We just got done reading over 20 emails this past Monday during the District 9 episode.
Yeah, so, I mean, honestly, that's the easiest way to communicate or interact with us, basically, through emails.
Send us your star rating for Green Room. Yeah. We'll read it over the air. And then Monday, A Quiet Place Part 2, are you excited? We're gonna talk. We talked Part 1, was it 2 years ago?
I think so,
yeah. Or last year?
It was last year. Actually, yeah, last year.
And then, so we talked Quiet Place Part 1. Go back in the archives, wherever you listen to podcasts at, and check that episode out. And then we're talking A Quiet Place Part 2 Monday.
Yeah.
August the 2nd.
Can't wait for that. I really like this universe that John Krasinski has put together, so I can't wait to go ahead and
even the first one kind of had some A24 vibes, maybe.
To a point, yeah. I can definitely see that.
Are you going to watch the first one before you do the second one again?
Probably. Probably, just to kind of compare and contrast, for that matter.
But will this be your second rewatch of it? So this
of number two?
Yeah.
No, I've seen it 3 times now, I think.
Of part two?
Yeah.
Oh damn.
Yeah.
Where did you go see it in theaters 3 times, or you got it Paramount Plus?
Twice in theaters, once in Paramount Plus.
Nice. So yeah. You're excited for it?
I like the movie. I do. Like I said, I really like John Krasinski's universe, and I mean, he's kind of like a parallel with Jordan Peele in my eyes. Different types of horror, but kind of a parallel as in kind of that comedy going to horror.
Right, you know? Right, right. So check us out next Monday, guys. We're talking A Quiet Place Part 2, Monday, August 2nd. Monday, August the 9th, we're talking The Suicide Squad. Monday, August the 16th, Shawshank Redemption. Monday, August 23rd, Promising Young Woman. And then the final Monday, August 30th of August, we talk The Matrix Reloaded. I think it'll be fun. And then don't forget next Thursday, Friday the 13th, Part 1. Are you excited for that franchise?
Yeah, it's been a while since I've actually watched them, for that matter. So it will be a little interesting just to see them again. So, yeah.
It'll be pretty interesting. Ed, do you have anything else before Monday?
You know... Not really. Go ahead and just turn on some rock. Go from there. Other than that, yeah, this is Edward saying I'll see you on the silver screen.
All right, guys. Don't forget, check us out Monday, August the 2nd. We talk A Quiet Place Part 2 right here only on the Cinnamon Movie Podcast.
Okay. You know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you're gonna go to that cool mountain. Great, you got a lot of nice girls.